Hi.
Hello.
It's ridiculous.
Hello, I'm Danielle Tame, and you are listening to Actors Group Conversations on Craft. Enjoy. So we're back with part two of my conversation with Burgess Jenkins on the differences between minutia and specificity. In other words, making sure that the details that you bring to your prep are absolutely necessary and not just details.
And I think it's just tricky going back to that whole what details are important.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you figure that out?
And that's where I say it's personal.
Yeah.
It's very personal because for one person, like you said, is the gun important? Well, yeah. I don't know. Is it?
Yeah.
Is it to you? Do you feel empowered by, you know, having the hopefully fake gun on your hip or in your hand? Does that make you feel more of what's going on in the character? Right. Or are you the kind of person that has never held a gun in your life and you're supposed to be wielding one in the scene and you're supposed to be an expert marksman,
right?
And you're like, I gotta have a gun in my hand. You put it in your hand and you look like you got a rolling pin and you have no idea what you're doing. So
I've been there, done that.
Well, I mean, okay, so there you are. So
it's like, this is ridiculous.
Exactly.
But it was required for the scene, but I have never held a gun.
Precisely. So, you know, is the detail necessary?
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. Is it? You know, it's for that human being to figure out for themselves, for that actor to realize, this helps me. This
right.
makes me feel. This makes me more connected to, or this doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the problem always lies in, I think I should.
Right.
That's where the problem is.
Right.
Honestly, that's kind of like the biggest umbrella problem. We should write a book called I Think I Should.
Oh, and make that the acting book.
I think I should. I think I should do this. I think they should say that. I think they should act this way. I think they should pound on the table here.
Yeah.
You know, I think I should. Now it's all over. You just ruined everything because I think I should.
Which is funny because that happened to me last night.
Yeah.
And we didn't do it in a scene, but I had that thought of like, oh, if we do that, then I think I should. And I was like, no. Then I'll be thinking about
right.
what I'm doing rather than experiencing what's going on.
What is. Yeah. Exactly. And if you've done your work properly and you know what you want and why you're there and what you hope to give the other person or get from the other person, mm-hmm. and all the boxes that you check as an actor, and you're really full and you've got your emotional bridge and you understand the character, you've done everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think I should have no place.
Right.
It's useless fallacy to think that I need to go into this space and I think I should. You don't do that when you have everything in front of you that you need as tools. You don't need those things. Am I to say that it's that simple and everybody just needs to, you know, bootstrap it up and go do that and they're going to solve all their problems? No, it's extraordinarily hard. It's very hard. That's why this business is so difficult.
Yeah.
Because it changes with every scene. You might get a character that's so far from you that you spend a lot of time in the I think I should space until you finally figure out what really does connect you to that person. So you don't have to do that anymore. But getting out of that space, it can be very, very difficult, especially when you read the script and it's not, I totally relate to this, when it's, I totally don't relate to this.
Yeah,
this is so out there for me.
So not me.
So not me. Right. Well, now you got a lot of work to do. And that's
right.
fine. That's the challenge. That's fun. I like the lot of work. Hand me the challenge.
Exactly.
I prefer that over reading something and going, okay, I can do this in my sleep, so to speak. But it does demand that you build that bridge that way.
And I think, too, that's also where you're going to get people bringing in too many details that are not important.
Yeah, that's the easiest place to do it. You don't normally see people bring up extraneous stuff in their work when they read the scene from the moment and go, oh, I love this.
Mm-hmm.
This is just like me. They have a tendency to do what? Well, they have a tendency to just kind of let go and say, well, I'm able to trust this because, you know, I would do this. I would say this. So, you know, I'm not going to do a whole lot here. I'm just going to find that little bit that ignites the scene, and I'm going to come in, and I'm going to listen, and I'm going to react, and there we go. And then they finish the scene, and they go, oh, that felt so good, and they look at us, and they say, you know, I want all my scenes to be like that. And you, okay, good, you should want all of your scenes to be like that.
Yeah.
And then they get one that's really, really, quote-unquote, hard,
mm-hmm.
But so foreign from them, and they go, I don't get it, I can't just do with this what I did with the last one. help me, what went wrong? Mm-hmm. Well, you got a lot of digging to do, and it's figuring out what is and is not, as you just said, what is and is not useful. Yeah. And that is hard.
Yeah.
To figure out what is and is not. But knowing that the things that lead you to more detailed thought and not to a path that unlocks the character for you, that makes you feel things about the character and where they're going, that's a good red flag.
Right.
If you're just writing all these ideas, but they're not leading you to anything that makes you feel anything. I use the talk it out exercise that we do in class all the time. That's a primary for me for breaking down a scene. I tend to write less now than I used to. I'll write sort of bullet points that lead me to paragraphs of thought. But instead of just writing it down, I will start talking, because I know that emotionally speaking, if I touch on something that in my detail work and my analysis that leads me to feeling something, I'll start talking about it in an emotional way. Mm-hmm. And that will make me say, I'm onto something here.
Right.
But if I'm talking about something and I just keep talking, and I'm minutes in and I haven't, it's not getting me anywhere, well, then I know that that's a rabbit hole that is not going to work out.
Yeah. So the talk it out for anyone who might be there, who doesn't,
know what the talk it out is.
Because that's something that, you know, we know in class.
Right.
No, but I'm not sure how,
if no, that's a talk it out's pretty, thing, well, it's unique it's... to us. right, that is true. At least I've never been in any classes where it's used. Talk it out is born of having had a background in psychology that, you know, if you go and sit in a counselor's office, one of the first things they're going to say to you, so tell me about that.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? How does that make you feel? And the reason they do that, as all of you listening know, if you think about something and somebody asks you how you're doing and you go, oh, you know, I'm fine. That doesn't ever take you anywhere. But if somebody says, well, you know, you don't seem yourself today. Are you okay? You know, I'm fine. Oh, no. Well, what's going on? And they finally get it out of you and you start talking. Notice what happens. You don't just, that's right. You don't just talk at all.
You'll be weeping.
Comes out. You're weeping or you're yelling or you've had it or you're up to here or, you know, you're so confused over or you don't understand this. You know, all of it comes out when you give it voice. Mm-hmm. And so talk it out is one of our staple exercises because it allows you to unlock yourself and you don't need somebody else. You are the instrument. You're the instrument. And if you're going to figure out how to play you, you've got to know how to unlock you. And the average person walking around avoids that like crazy. Mm-hmm. They don't want to unlock them.
Well, because it can be scary.
It can be. That's right. Absolutely it can be. But you're an actor. You know, you're an actor right. now, as I like to say.
Yeah.
If you're an actor now, you don't have that luxury
you
anymore.
You can't hide from yourself.
That's right. That's right. You are the instrument. You can't just avoid those things. So that's talk it out. And, you know, also knows, you know, talking to somebody who isn't there or whatever, but talk it out gets you going.
Yeah.
Get your juices flowing. And so as you do that, you find the connections to what matters. You know, it's a much easier tool to find out what matters. And as I stumble onto things that I like, I'll make a bullet note about it. And my pages are usually full of, you know, a couple of words. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of words here, a couple of words there, maybe a short sentence. But that's because I know those couple of words, if I started talking about it, would elicit, you know, minutes of yakking from me, conversation from me. So, that's how I separate the good from the bad, the useless from what can help me.
Which I think is a useful tool.
Yeah.
I think it's, I mean, I know, you know.
Done properly.
It's something, right. It's something that if anybody who comes to class here will see people just muttering to themselves.
Yeah. And they'll be a bunch of people, crazy people.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny, the people that I find who don't want to do the talk it out, they do it, mm-hmm. they don't want to do it, rather, because they're self-conscious.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sit with people looking at me talking out loud. Well, guess what? You know, you're getting ready to do a scene that's supposed to be emotionally available, sharing who you are in front of all these people. If you're not willing to get up and, you know, mutter under your breath or go over to the corner and say some things out loud. I mean, we don't have to hear you. It doesn't matter. In front of a group, if you can't get past that, then you've got bigger problems.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess, you know, for anybody listening, it would also be just going back to that whole details.
Yeah.
It's making sure that whatever you're using, either in your backstory, whether it's, you know, an idea or physical things that you're using to bring in to class on to do a scene, that you'll know that they're useful if they elicit an emotional response of some kind.
Well,
or at least...
Yes. You know, hopefully we haven't gone too far afield with this and gotten off the topic, because the specificity is absolutely essential.
Right.
You know, and getting to the other side of this, I've talked an awful lot about how it should lead you to some kind of emotional response, as it should.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that you can just come in with a bunch of emotional ideas, things that make you feel stuff, and not having brought in that pile of dry wood, because
right.
you have to have that. So if we're going to talk about that for a minute, you know, a good example might be, you know, you and I are doing a scene, and, you know, we're siblings. And the scene is that, you know, we're trying to figure out what to do with mom and dad. That's always a, you know, a powerful emotional situation. And, you know, let's say the scene doesn't go entirely well. And we finish up and it's emotionally available. It's not that we're not feeling anything, but something's just kind of off. And, you know, we finish the scene and the teacher says, okay, so what, you know, what's going on here? And we say, well, you know, we're siblings and, you know, dad's sick and mom can't take care of dad. And, you know, we're trying to figure out if, you know, we need to do nursing home or in care health, or, you know, we're sort of at odds about that. And so that's what's going on. And then the teacher says, okay, so, you know, why is dad sick? Well, I don't know, but he's sick. Okay. Well, what's happening with mom? Why can't mom take care of him? Well, she's old. Okay. Well, what kind of childhood did you guys have? I mean, you know, what's your relationship?
Right.
How do you guys, well, I mean, we're siblings. Mm-hmm. Do you get along? Not right now. You know, these are huge questions that people need
right.
to answer.
Right.
They need to be very specific about it. You know, dad always provided, mm-hmm. and he was a good provider, and he was a good dad, but, you know, he was in a car wreck, and it was sudden. What we didn't realize is that he never had any life insurance, and mom didn't know, because she was more of a caretaker, and she was a kindergarten teacher for a lot of years, and then she stopped to take care of us. And she didn't work anymore. She didn't have to. And she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom because she loved her family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now when this happened so suddenly, mom's upside down. She didn't foresee this. And him being such a good provider, we were shocked to find out that he didn't have any life insurance. Or so when he's gone, this is going to be a huge problem. And I don't live in town. Only you do, which makes it not fair to you. And you see where we're going with this.
Yeah, no, I do.
And that's
what's... It's like I'm already drawn into
see,
the
and
story.
Now you're in... So am I.
I'm like,
and,
yeah, but...
yeah, and so now we have specifics.
Yeah.
And guess what? None of that's ever going to be on the page.
Right.
It's not going to be on the page. Or, arguably worse, it will be on the page, but not in a way you connect to. And then the actor says, well, yeah, here's what happened, according to the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, cool, great. Does that work for you? And they go, what do you mean? I said, well, does that little story that you just read me that came from the character description and the stage direction, does that make you feel anything? Well, I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah.
No, I guess not. Okay, so that's even worse. There's a trap sitting right there on the page, and you just walked right into it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using the situation on the page for my specificity, for my specifics. And it doesn't mean anything to you.
No.
Because, you know, maybe you don't know your dad. You know, maybe you know, he died when you were young or left and you started a new family or whatever. And you're over here trying to use, oh, dad's sick and in the hospital. What are we going to do? Nothing. You're not going to do anything with that because it doesn't mean anything to you. You don't even know your dad.
You don't care.
That's right, because you
yeah.
don't care. So what are the specifics that work for you? And how have you changed those specifics off the page so that the page isn't bullying you?
Yeah.
So that you've got specifics that work for you. Now, when do you stop with the specifics? When you feel good and full. Now, does that mean that just because you feel good and full that you've done the right specifics? Well, you're going to find out when you do the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And the more and more you do this, the more and more you realize that the specifics are designed to, yes, make you feel stuff, but not just any one thing.
Right.
Proper emotions, as we talk about all the time in class, they're never just one thing.
No.
And I ask somebody, how do you feel? Well, you know, I'm really angry. And what? I don't know, angry. No, never. Never. You're never just any one thing. It's always a multitude of things, and that's why your specifics need to bring in all that stuff.
Well, and like you say, angry is usually the way that we display whatever other emotion is really going on.
Right. Yeah. And all the other stuff comes through it.
Right.
Yeah. If you're sad and angry, well, yeah, then we get that. If you feel betrayed and angry, then we get the bitterness. Mm-hmm. You know, if you feel hurt.
Right.
And anyway, we can go on and on. But yeah, all that stuff comes through.
Yeah. And I think, too, where we see it in class sometimes will be when we're doing points of views.
Yes.
That activity.
Yeah.
And then the conversation just goes round and round in circles because either both actors or just one actor has not, they haven't brought those specific details to the conversation.
Absolutely.
And so it's just, well, that's because, like you said, you know, with the parents discussion, it's like, well, because that's what I think. You know, and then we kind of, there's no depth.
Right, exactly. You know, we say it, you know, when you're preparing for your point of view exercise, and again, for those of you at home, point of view is... two people create a scenario. Two people create a scenario together, and well, you could use the one we just had. If we did a point of view about that, about what to do about mom and dad in this situation, and Danielle's on one side of it, and I'm on the other, and then we come in and we have this discussion about it. It can go anywhere, but say she wants to have live-in care, and I feel that we shouldn't do that. That they should go to a home. And then we have our reasons for it. Well, if she's got a litany of reasons why they should have live-in care, and all I come up with is, you know, I think a home would be better, maybe for no reason at all, or maybe because, you know, I think that, I don't know, mom's not capable of taking care of dad, or that, you know, a home would be more comprehensive. Well, Danielle is going to take me to task, and I'm going to be standing there looking really stupid because I don't have, I like to use this term, an arsenal full of reasons why.
Yeah.
My reasons why, my specific point of view. If I've got a number of reasons, and she does, and they all make me feel things, and so does she, then we collide and things happen. All kinds of things happen. It doesn't mean that we argue. Maybe we do. Maybe we end up crying over it. Maybe we end up agreeing. Maybe we come to a resolution. I don't know, but something happens. And when you watch two people that don't have anything, they have one or two ideas, and they just repeat them over and over and over.
Right.
And that's hollow. That's right. All to this point.
It's all the dry wood.
It is the dry wood. That's exactly what it looks like.
And one of the things, too, that I, when I'm working with somebody on a point of view exercise, especially somebody who's new, I'll always say, figure out both sides. You know, try and figure out if you were doing my side.
Absolutely.
Of the point of view, what would you be saying? And
yes,
that way you come even more prepared, kind of, so that you can counter whatever it is that the other person...
And empathize, and sympathize, and all the other things that go along with that. If you do those things, you're a much more complete human being. Something that, I don't know who coined it, it's a pretty famous old saying, seek first to understand, then to be understood. Somebody said that to me in graduate school, one of my teachers, and I've just never forgotten it because it's a really good one. We don't do that. You know, people don't walk around seeking first to understand other people. They just think that everybody's entitled to their point of view, to their opinions. And yeah, it's human nature, and that's okay. But it's a much more comprehensive place to exist from as an actor, and by the way, as a human being, when we do that.
Yeah.
And it gives us the ability to empathize, or it gives us the ability to completely dismiss the other person's side of things, depending on where you fall in the scene, by really trying to understand where they're coming from so that you can relate or combat or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, I think it keeps coming back to those details.
Sure.
Details that are important.
And they're vital. They're absolutely essential. Yeah. So, yeah, it's again, that's what makes this so hard. It's what makes acting challenging. I use the word hard. I like the word challenge better. Because it's fun. It's so much fun. It's like a puzzle. And you're trying to unlock every scene you get. And you get a new puzzle every time you get sent an audition. You get a new puzzle every time you're on set. And you're faced with this, okay, I've got this whole human being. I've got this whole relationship. Mm-hmm. I've got this whole situation to figure out. And it's my oyster. I can do whatever I want. And that's exciting.
It is.
Yeah.
That is the fun part. Well, I think that, you know, pretty much covers the difference between minutia and specificity. So making sure that we bring the details that we need to our preps and not the details that we don't.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is fun.
This is fun. Yes. Thank you again, Burgess, for coming in and talking to me.
Anytime.
This was fun. Always. That's it for today's edition of Actors Group Conversations on Craft. This is your host, Danielle Tame, and I really hope that you enjoyed today's conversation. Feel free to rate the podcast on iTunes. You can leave a review, or you can leave me a comment or a question on the Actors Group Conversations on Craft Facebook page. Until next time.